This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
What happens within the four walls of a detention center is only known by the detainees, who are being criminalized for being undocumented under the Immigration Act 1959, as there is a lack of transparency as to what happens in the center. Regular visits and surprise spot checks are conducted by the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission to ensure that these detention centres are maintained in a satisfactory condition and safe for human beings. But very little information is available on the conditions of the detention centres. Michael Flynn, Executive Director of the Global Detention Project, describes the lack of transparency and challenges to obtain information on the conditions in the detention centre.
When we look at countries, they find themselves in a pretty tough situation under a lot of pressure on the one hand to block migration, but on the other hand, without the resources to do it properly. But many of these countries are detaining people. They also don't have the infrastructure for getting information out there. There are no public sources of information. So we find it very difficult to get statistics. There's very few statistics on Malaysia that we have or that we're aware of. And the extent that there are statistics, they're released by the Human Rights Commission. But these problems are also all existing in the main destination countries and the wealthy developed countries, in all the European countries, and many of them, getting information statistics, there's no transparency. It's completely opaque, and it's very hard to get information. We talk about people who kind of are, for periods of time, they're sort of off the radar, and it's hard to account for a time because they pass through a facility that's not necessarily being monitored even by officials. So we find it pretty much endemic throughout the world. Where we see immigration detention, we know there's going to be a problem of the kind of information we're going to be able to get in most cases, whether or not there's any available statistics at all.
According to the Universal Periodic Review, in 2013, at least 33 states raised concerns about Malaysia's poor treaty ratification record or made recommendations for Malaysia to ratify the core human rights treaties. Much of the previous recommendations made during the 2009 Universal Periodic Review still holds, while new areas of concern are emerging. This includes Malaysia's poor ratification of core international human rights treaties, such as the UN's Convention Against Torture. Shamini Darshini, Executive Director of Amnesty International Malaysia, gives us a little background on the UN's Convention Against Torture and how it will help preserve the safety of occupants in detention centres.
The UN Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, it calls on state parties to this convention to ensure that there is no torture or ill treatment that happens in places of detention. So Malaysia has not ratified the UN Convention Against Torture. This UN Convention basically defines torture as an act, whether physical or mental, that is intentionally inflicted upon a person who is incarcerated. So what this means is that if and when Malaysia does ratify this convention, Malaysia would then be obliged to introduce anti-torture legislation and to bring its domestic legislation in line with international standards.
After the 2009 Universal Periodic Review, the Malaysian government stated that it was progressively studying the proposal to ratify the Convention Against Torture and would be in a position to do so once major issues related to the legislative framework are resolved. However, 4 years later, Malaysia has yet to ratify these treaties. Michael explains how the slow progress in signing this treaty has reflected badly on Malaysia's human rights records.
According to our analysis at the Global Detention Project, we've created an assessment of all the international treaties that could be relevant to this issue. There's like 16 of them. When we go from country to country and we try to look at data across a number of countries, one of the indicators we look at is to what extent have countries ratified the relevant treaties and to what extent have they followed them or implemented the provisions of these treaties. And Malaysia is only a party to four of them. So in terms of an immigration detaining country, one of the indicators that we look at is to what extent has it made international promises through treaty ratifications. And it's a terrible record in terms of its international commitments.
Aside from the UN's Convention Against Torture, Malaysia has also yet to sign Article 7 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which states that no one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment. Shamini explains further.
Apart from looking at places of detention. The other international laws that provide for this is one, Article 5 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So the UDHR is something that all UN member states, including Malaysia, subscribe to when you become a member of the UN. And Article 5 basically says no one should be subjected to torture. And then we have the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 7, which provides for the same thing. No one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. So Malaysia has not ratified the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. In fact, Malaysia has only ratified 3 international conventions, which is not a great record for the UN Security Council. So the 3 conventions that we have ratified are the conventions on women, on children, and on persons with disabilities.
The Philippines is one example of a country that has ratified the UN's Convention Against Torture. Sharmini explains how the convention is being applied in the country.
So Philippines has ratified the UN Convention Against Torture years ago. And since then, there has been a prevalent problem over the years on gun violence and torture of people in prisons or in lockups. When a country does ratify the UN Convention Against Torture, it is given time to amend its local legislation. So what this means is that once Philippines, for example, ratified the Convention Against Torture, it introduced an anti-torture law, which also means that people who were tortured or ill-treated when Philippines was under martial law now have access to reparation.
Efforts have also been made to improve the state of detention centres around the world by introducing Alternatives to Detention, or ATD. According to International Detention Coalition, ATD helps prevent unnecessary immigration detention, such as the presumption of liberty and limitations on detention in law. Although adopting the ATD model is a progressive move to solve issues surrounding detention centres, Michael suggests that such centres should not exist at all.
You can call it alternatives, you can call it whatever you like to call it, but what we think is the most effective thing is to not detain, because that would, from an advocate's point of view, the ideal outcome is that people are not being detained. And from our perspective, the human rights issue, right? I mean, in the case of Malaysia, it's just so extreme, it's in your face. In other cases, it can be more hidden, not well known. But whenever you take somebody into custody, place them behind bars, sometimes indefinitely, you are raising the possibility of the abuse of some fundamental rights. That is the nature of detention, that all of a sudden the possibility of abuse goes up tremendously. This becomes the case, even more so the case, when it's countries where they have a weak rule of law, high levels of corruption, and low adherence to fundamental human rights norms through their treaty ratifications.
In 2013, Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, or SUHAKAM, organized a roundtable talks to discuss the use of alternatives to immigration detention in Malaysia, with a focus on the situation of children, refugees or asylum seekers in immigration detention centres. Michael, however, states it is difficult for Malaysia to pursue this alternative, as corporal punishment is still being implemented.
We know that Malaysia has rather a different goal, which is punishment and deterrence. So when you're caning people for being undocumented, it's brutal. It's just this level of brutality that is shocking. So all of a sudden, the equation changes. How do you argue alternatives or non-detention with a country that thinks that it needs to punish these people? It's much more challenging to pursue those goals. Nevertheless, there are a lot of organizations in Malaysia to try to tackle this issue, and there are efforts to find alternatives or at least improve what's happening with children who are detained. We know that there are lots of children in detention in Malaysia.
Massive reforms need to be done to improve the state of detention centres, such as ratifying suitable conventions and constant surveillance by relevant authorities in the facility.
I have a very focused agenda looking at immigration issues. So formalism, well, I think number one, the extraordinarily weak framework for international human rights law in Malaysia is of deep concern. And whenever we see a country that is so weak in its adherence to recognized international human rights norms, it's really hard to imagine reforms, because the adherence to those laws is an expression of a commitment before we're going to see really good reforms in the treatment of people. Number two, I think that the state has to take more of a responsibility for what the conditions of detention are. There have been a number of different proposed changes over the years, promises to do things, they haven't been fulfilled.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.